You know, I got to tell you, in growing up in Detroit and then St. Louis, I have taken my three children to Baskin-Robbins ice cream chains and stores. They love it. And it's been a great idea. It was started in, what, 1945 here in California?
Yes, it was. And I'm sure I've eaten more ice cream even in just my childhood than your daughters combined. But, you know, ice cream is not a healthy thing in excess. My own uncle, Bert Baskin, my dad's partner and brother-in-law, died of a heart attack in his early 50s.
Oh, my.
And he was a big, big man.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I asked my dad, do you think there could be any connection between the amount of ice cream that he would eat and his fatal heart attack? And my father said no. His ticker just got tired and stopped working.
And
I looked in my dad's eyes and I saw denial. I mean, I could understand, though, why he wouldn't want to even consider the possibility there could be a link.
Yeah.
Because by that time, he had manufactured and sold more ice cream than any human being that had ever lived on this planet, and he didn't want to think, not for a moment, that it was hurting anybody.
Now, to this day, John, what, 5,600 locations around this planet?
Yes.
At least.
Yes.
And your father, how's he doing?
Well, he's in his very, very late 80s, and, you know, about 15 years ago, he had diabetes and high blood pressure and a lot of problems that were, frankly, fairly predictable with a person who'd lived the kind of lifestyle he had. And these are diseases of affluence. These are diseases of excess. And his doctor leveled with him and told him that he really ought to make some big changes if he wanted to live much longer. And he did, and he began to follow the advice of Dean Ornish and people like myself who've been writing about these things and talking about these things. And he had 15 good years after that.
Oh, that's good.
So, in a way, I was able to give him something perhaps more meaningful and fulfilling than if I had followed in his footsteps, fulfilled his expectations, and taken over Baskin-Robbins, because I was able to take a stand for a different way of life that even he could benefit from to some degree in his later years.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about moderation, and I've got to tell you, John, just knowing what you've done and looking at your work, had you taken over Baskin-Robbins, you may have changed the company so much, I'm not sure it would have succeeded. Not to knock your business abilities, but I have a feeling you would have changed some things.
Well, you know, I would have had to stay in integrity there, but, you know, an ice cream cone isn't going to kill anybody, but the more you eat, the more likely you are to have a heart attack, like my uncle Bert Baskin died of. Or, you know, it's not just him. Ben Cohen, who was the founder and owner of Ben & Jerry's,
sure,
had a quintuple bypass in his late 40s. You know, these are the chickens coming home to roost. This is what happens when you eat a high-fat, high-saturated fat diet and don't take care of yourself. And, you know, Ben Cohen's a terrific guy. My uncle was a terrific guy. I'm not meaning to discredit them in any way, but I think we can learn from what happens to people, and then we don't have to make all the mistakes ourselves.
How did you change, or when did you change, or were you always into the health mode?
Well, I was always a smart aleck, you know. I was always questioning everything and rebelling and challenging the assumptions and the beliefs around me. And I just didn't feel pulled in that direction. Although I grew up, you know, and we had an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool in our backyard, and I loved it. I mean, I worked in the stores. I worked in the factories.
You probably never went without, I would guess, right?
I truly never went without. I had ice cream for breakfast some days.
Gosh.
It's terrible. But you know, sometimes excess is a teacher. And I had ice cream in excess. And I wasn't healthy. I didn't feel good. I wasn't strong. I wasn't fit. I had a lot of physical problems myself. I looked around my family. I saw everyone struggling with their weight and some people losing that struggle. And I just said, you know, I want to live a different way than this. And I don't think that the almighty dollar is everything. You know, there are other things in life, and that may sound heretical in today's society, but I felt like, you know, if there isn't anything deeper, more meaningful than money and the pursuit of it, then life isn't worth living. And I felt guided. I had an intuition. I had an inner instinct that was calling me away from that world of ice cream and money and into the pursuit of a whole different definition of success, really, about what makes a human life worthy. And instead of it being measured entirely by dollars and cents, I thought it might be measured in how much we can contribute to the well-being, to the joy, to the laughter, to the beauty of our fellow human beings and of the whole Earth community.